We love hip hop.
What do you mean? How so?
You know, like how guys used to roll bogeys with the pack of bogeys. Instead of the packs of bogeys, it was like packs of tobacco. And then they take the zigzag and just put a little bit of tobacco in there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Do you roll with Grabba?
Of course. We have a Grabba sponsor.
Yeah.
Steaming hot Grabba.
You ever think about quitting Grabba?
It kind of defeats the purpose because I smoke so much like backwoods and stuff like that. So it's like, okay, I'll quit Grabba and I'll still be smoking tobacco anyway in the backwoods.
Yeah.
So I may as well just quit both. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if I'm ready to do that yet.
I know, right?
Yeah. Mind you, it's not like I could do without smoking Grabba and like adding extra stuff to my weed and I could still be a weed smoker. You know what I'm saying? There's ways, pure ways of smoking weed. I just think a lot of times we just get caught up in the extra stuff that we put on top of the shit. You know what I'm saying?
I always feel like I wouldn't even smoke weed if I quit Grabba, you know?
That's the thing, this herbalist, like, you remember my homie PK Herc?
Yep.
He swears against Grabba, like, nah.
Yeah.
You're ruining the weed experience by smoking the Grabba and even blunt, you know what I'm saying?
He's a purist, eh? I love how he, like, quit the podcast because he's just like, you know, like...
It's too much fuckery, man.
Yeah.
I can admit, like...
That's what I'm saying. You have patience, bro, you know?
And potting is not just interviewing, right? Like, I do news stories.
Yeah.
Some of these news stories are sticky. Somebody gets arrested and we bring it up on the podcast. Somebody's going to DM me about it.
Yeah.
Not everybody's willing to be part of something where you're going to be getting threatening DMs. I don't blame them. You know what I mean?
Yep. That shit is annoying, bro.
Yeah. So even like just to continue, and I already got the recording button going there, right? With the podcasting, right?
Yeah.
Because I've seen other directors do podcasting. One thing that a lot of directors miss when it comes to doing their own podcast is the audio component. You're doing videos, let me ask you quick, and you do like a skit before, do you think about the audio parts?
Now I do, like, but like, you know, probably like 5-6 years ago, definitely not, you know, I wasn't up on all of that. But like, yeah, you need a mic, you know?
Yes.
I mean?
Or a boom or something at least. Or
audio is so important, bro.
Yeah. Because you don't want that skit in the beginning of the video to lose its effect because, like, you know, everything sounds super hollow or it just sounds weird. You know what I mean?
100%. Man.
Let's get into it, though, man, because, like we were talking about before, like, it's been long overdue.
Facts.
And I'm really happy to do this interview because you're also somebody who does videography. You're into production and stuff. And I feel like I get to nerd out a little bit.
I mean, bro, you're not going to learn much from me. I'm going to tell you this. Like, I'm not smart when it comes to like gears, all this shit. Horrible, bro. Like, it's insane. Like, I just know what I have and how to use what I have. You know, I'm not one of those guys that's like constantly buying new gear and like, I know how to learn. Like, I hate that shit.
Okay.
You want to know something crazy, bro?
Talk to me.
I have a brand new camera sitting in the box, bro. It's been at least 6 months.
What?
6 months.
And you haven't even tried to like,
I haven't even
play with it at all,
it, bro. Like,
wow.
It's crazy. I don't know if you guys know what type of mental illness that is. Let me know, bro. Cause
so what are you doing? You're just using your old camera?
I'm still using my old camera, bro. Cause I'm like, I don't want to like learn this new shit.
Wow.
Like, is that not crazy, bro?
Do you have to go through this process every time you get a new camera?
Yes, you
can't. The camera you're using now is not the first camera you
used. No, it's like the second.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it took me a lot to get that new camera. I didn't even want to get that one back then. My friends will tell you, like, they forced me to get the new camera. They like helped me learn the new camera, you know?
Damn.
Like, I don't know, bro. Yeah.
Why are you like that, bro?
I don't know, bro. It's super weird. Well, it's like, it works for me.
Yeah.
Like, no one's complaining. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need to upgrade, bro. I need to fucking learn my new camera, bro.
Well, the camera that you're using is 4K quality. I can see it in the videos.
Yeah. People are still saying my videos are cleaner than other people's videos, and that shit makes no sense to me, but
hey. Yeah. Well, let's get into it just so the people, because we got our video audience over here who's watching on YouTube. Hit the subscribe.
It's recording, right?
Yeah.
Okay, bless.
Right? Hit the subscribe, hit the like, all that good stuff. But for the people in the listening audience who might not know this voice, this gentleman has been doing his thing in the music scene, right? Behind the scenes or behind the lens, you know, doing music videos for some of your favorite Toronto rappers. And some of these videos, sometimes I'm like, wow, bro, you really get into the hoods. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And besides that, you know, you might have been seeing him on your Instagram feed or on your YouTube feed, talking to different people who live in the streets, homeless individuals who are going through different strife. I like to call this gentleman a Renaissance man when it comes to this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
appreciate
you come
it.
From the older, but you're in this new school too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because you've been doing this for a minute.
100%.
So with no further ado, I would like to welcome Reed in the Streets in the motherfucking building.
You know, respect, bro. Thanks for having me.
No, man. Thanks for coming through.
Long
brother.
Overdue, for real.
Yeah.
Had to make it happen, man.
And thank you, man. Before I get into it, just quick salute to the sponsors, right? Big salute to Diamond Club. Hit them up on their Instagram page if you want some of that loud. That's Diamond Club _Canada. Carrier of Canacans, any type of edibles, pens, anything you need. Delivery across Canada and within the GTA. Once again, hit them up on their Instagram page, Diamond Club Canada, and use the code WeLoveHipHop for a discount. Also, if you need some more blem out of Ottawa, same day or just a couple of hours delivery within Ottawa, hit up Only Loud, and they got delivery across Canada as well. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Only Loud Canada, and use the code WeLoveHipHop for a discount. But yes, sir. I wanted to get this opportunity to get to know a little bit more about you and just the different things that you've been doing. I've been doing my research too. Mm-hmm. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. I seen right now you just won an award.
Yeah. I won a little community award, man.
Yeah. Talk to us about that.
That was mad special for me, man. Mm-hmm. It was a surprise, honestly. So this group, Healing as One, that's based in Regent Park,
okay,
reached out to me. That we're having this basketball tournament in the hood, and we're trying to raise money and raise awareness for homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And so they asked if they could put me on the flyer. I was like, no problem, man, you know.
Yeah.
And they just told me to pull up, and I pulled up, and then when I was there, they kind of broke it down to me. They're like, yeah, we're actually like trying to raise money for you, bro. You know,
mm.
I was like, what? Like, no way. You know, that's crazy. That's big, man. You know? And, bro, it was just good vibes, man. They just, you know, there was a basketball tournament, 3-point contest,
yeah,
food and drink, and people were donating money. And yeah, in the end, they gave me a donation to help the people in the streets, you know?
Nice.
And the MPP of that community, that whole area, was there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, she gave me a shout out, which was pretty sick, you know?
Yeah. I think I seen you on, you were on TV the other day.
Yeah,
too.
I was on the news too, yeah, from that shit. Yeah. So yeah, it was cool, man. You know, that was like the first time, I feel like I was kind of embraced, you know what I mean? On a bit of a bigger level than just like the actual street level.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, you know?
Yeah. And you know, just, before we delve into like the history and stuff like that, with these videos that you're filming, right? There's like a lot of videos that you film of different homeless people and stuff, mm-hmm, like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much further do you feel that has reached, like outside of just like even like the MPPs and stuff like that? Have you ever, like, you think like Doug Ford and different people have heard about this type of stuff at this point?
Probably. Like, yeah.
Are you getting any communications from people?
Oh, yeah. Like, I get messages from like news outlets, from fucking police, fucking firefighters, like, you know, EMS, like, you know, housing workers, all these people, you know, that are kind of involved in that street life shit.
Yeah.
They're all tapped in, man. You know, like, I don't know, man. It's crazy. I guess it's like a big issue right now, right?
It
like
is.
The housing crisis, you know, like, yeah, the economy's kind of fucking going down, and, so yeah, bro, I think it just reached a lot of people because it's relevant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And man, people are interested. People want to know what the fuck's going on in our city, right?
Yeah. And let's go back a bit though, so that we can get to even why now you're even out here doing this and with these videos, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You started off doing music videos, right?
Actually, I started off doing this. I just never posted any of it. So like before I ever did music videos, I was chilling downtown every day in Chinatown and Kensington Market and shit. I spent all day downtown, you know? And I would see the same homeless people all the time, right? So I ended up becoming friends with these people. Mm-hmm. I knew a lot of homeless people in Chinatown. I actually really have like a whole documentary of like me and a bunch of homeless people in Chinatown from like 10 years ago, you know?
Okay.
And I think that's kind of what started it for me, you know, just kind of like chilling downtown all the time, growing up downtown, seeing the same people in the streets all the time, you know, and slowly building a relationship with them. And then I got into music videos, you know, and then I kind of went back to my roots.
And you went back
full circle, you know. I'm low key getting a bit tired of the music videos because everybody just wants to do low budgets. Like no one's trying to really be creative, and that shit just gets boring, you know, same thing over and over again. I'm about to up my price on motherfuckers because I'm just getting too tired of doing these basic videos, you know?
Yeah.
Like give me at least like a 4K, 5K, and then I'll book the location, get the models, get the cars. I'll do everything, bro. Just let's do something bigger and better, man, you know?
But is that what a lot of artists want right now? Because that's the thing.
Yeah, like, they don't. I don't think so.
I don't feel like, and maybe you are in the right direction, because music videos is cool. And this is with all due respect to artists out there who are getting their music videos done. But there's a limitation to it after a while. If guys don't want more out of a music video than what we used to have back in the days.
Yeah, man. Like I can only do so much if you're not willing to like do anything. You know what I mean? Yeah. So a lot of times, like I'm not happy with my videos and it's not my fault. You know what I'm saying? And it's actually really fucking frustrating because now I've been boxed in. People think I only do these like run and gun hood videos. Yeah, like, nah, man, give me a budget. You'll see what I can do, you know?
But
just like.
You've never done any. I've
done a few like bigger budget ones, you know what I mean? But like, just it's rare, you know? It's very rare to the point where like. It's so rare. Like, it's hard for me to get into that groove, you know? Because it's just so rare, you know?
And, you know, the name I mentioned in the beginning, Reed in the Streets. King B is also your name for the music videos, right? Yeah, is it a separate thing? King B is the name for the music videos and Reed in the Streets is your name for like the content? Or
That's how it started. Like I started an Instagram. I remember I was super late to Instagram back in the day, like when I was filming all that like homeless people stuff and I was taking photos of different hoods and shit before I ever shot a music video. I never used to want to put out my work. I used to like want to hoard it and like it's only for me and my friends. Like I used to think like as soon as you put something out, like it's done, like, you know. And then I realized like that's not like the way of life, you know, keeping everything for yourself, you know what I mean? So when I started Instagram, I was like, what should I do? I didn't want to give away like my good shit in my head,
right?
So I was like, let me post hood photos of different hoods. And people liked it, you know? And I was like, oh shit, people are actually kind of interested in this. And I kept going with it. And then I started doing the music videos. And yeah, man, now it's like full circle again, back in the streets. So when I started doing the music videos, or sorry, when I started the Instagram, I just came up with the name Reed in the Street because it was fitting, you know? And then when I started doing music videos, in my head, I thought I needed a different name.
Right.
So I started rolling King B. And now it's just kind of like meshed.
Yeah.
Now I'm rolling also with the logo In the Streets, not Industry. I don't know if you've seen that one.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. So it's all just kind of like meshed.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, you grew up in Parkdale.
Yeah. Like part time. My dad lived in Parkdale. So there are a few days of the week and shit.
Yeah.
But like I didn't hang with anybody from Parkdale. You know, I didn't go to school in Parkdale.
Yeah.
I just chilled with my dad in Parkdale.
Well, Parkdale is a very artist community, right? And your dad was an artist.
Yes,
right?
He was. Yeah, you did your research. I respect it.
So, you know, I'm sure a lot of that artistry, like we're not talking about artists like musical artists. No. We're talking about painting and stuff like that.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. My dad, he made jewelry. He did paintings. He also made music, sculptures, all sorts of shit, man. Like, Yeah, some funny ass art, bro. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Very interesting, like hippie, funny art, you know?
And that's like I would imagine you get your artistic side from.
For sure, yeah, man.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
I'm gonna throw a name at you as far as like with this hip hop stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Eminem and D12.
Yeah. I grew up on that shit, man.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
So when you first started hearing like Purple Pills and all those tracks like that, what's going on in your head? Like, you know, like,
I don't think I really understood that shit too much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I understood more of the violent stuff, like the pill shit. I wasn't really understanding too much.
Yeah,
but yeah, bro, I knew it was bad, you know what I mean, but I loved it.
Yeah. And you used to bike all over the city.
Mm-hmm.
You biked from Parkdale to Jane and Finch, bro?
Yeah, man. That's how I like met rappers and shit. Like,
mm-hmm.
How I met that guy Smiley or whatever. I biked up to Jane and Finch.
Yeah,
man. I used to bike like I never even had a car when I started doing videos, you know? So mm-hmm. I fucking bike to the hood and shoot a video.
All right, wait. You're biking with the backpack, like with all like the equipment and stuff like that too?
Yeah.
Mod.
But that was like, yeah, shortly after that, I invested and got a stabilizer and it was too much equipment to bike with. You know?
Yeah.
I needed a car at that point, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, first, like, definitely I was just like riding my girl's car and shit like that. Like,
what? Yeah. Proper transportation.
Yeah, eventually I invested in a whip, you know?
And this is like your first set of music videos, right? Like, actually, your first set of music videos was with Nitty Gritty Gang.
Mixed
with the Diamond Club with delivery all across the GTA as well as all across Canada. They got some of the best loud that you can get, as well as edibles, pens, tinctures, and anything that you want for your 420 needs. Make sure to hit them up on their Instagram page, DiamondClub_Canada. And you can also find them on the 7 Days of Weed website. Once again, their Instagram page is DiamondClub_Canada. And you could use the code WeLoveHipHop if you want a discount. Big salute to the sponsors. Cheer.
Yep. Shout out to
right
them,
out of Scarborough.
Bro. Honestly, like, they're the reason I shoot music videos. I don't know if I ever would have got into it if it weren't for them, because they believed in me before I believed in myself.
Yeah,
bro. Which is, man, big shout out to them, bro. Real shit. Sometimes all you need in life is someone who believes in you.
Yeah.
And usually that should be your parents.
Yeah. So, you know, you guys start filming music videos, you and the Nitty Gritty Gang, and you filmed a bunch of videos for them.
Yeah. Right? I actually ended up like low-key filming like a documentary with them, you know what I mean? Like, I was going to baby showers, like birthdays, and just like filming everything, you know?
Yeah.
But once again, bro, back then I wasn't thinking about audio. So all the audio is just trash, you know? Like, I always want to turn that into a documentary. Like, even this year I was wanting to, but just the audio, bro, it's just...
Maybe send it over to me, man. I might be able to clean it up, man.
Fuck, yeah.
I'm able to work magic these days with some audio,
man.
Yeah, man.
I'll let you take a look and see what you could do, man.
Right. So around what year is that when you were starting to do the videos with Nitty Gritty Gang? Like 2014, 2013?
I think it was more like 2015, 16. Actually, I don't know, man. Around there, bro. 2014, 2015, some shit like that.
Right. So was your name buzzing for doing any videos yet?
No, not at all. I was like coming up from the bottom, you know, like, but I quickly realized, like, at least back then for sure. Now, I don't know about nowadays, but back then people did not give a fuck who you were, what you had under your belt. Like, as long as you had a decent looking camera and you're willing to shoot that shit, they'll give you a chance, you know?
Yeah.
So I was grateful a lot of artists gave me a chance back then, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, you started making some videos for some pretty big artists around that time too. Like 2016, that's when you started linking up with Smoke Dogg and you know, Puffy L's and those guys.
Yeah, right?
You actually shot the video for Overseas.
Yeah. Me and another director, yeah.
How did you link with Smoke Dogg and those guys in the first place?
So it was through Big Racks, Free Big Racks. Shout him out, man. That's my bro. He really like just held it down for me and he introduced me to everybody, you know, and co-signed me. And just after I worked with him, I just worked with everybody in region, you know?
Yeah. How how did you get so welcomed in, bro? Because obviously you're a white guy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And like, maybe that had something to do with it, right? Maybe I wasn't a threat.
Mm.
You know? I don't know, man. Honestly. Yes.
Bro, like, bro, you have love, a different relationship, you know, with artists than, like, I don't know if you realize, like,
it took me a while to realize that. Yeah. Like, back in those days, like, those guys really had a lot of love for me, more than I even knew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, I remember the first time when I worked with, like, their sort of ops or whatever, like, yeah, it was a big deal and it was a big problem. And I got a lot of, like, slack for that, mm-hmm, you know? And I honestly didn't understand at the time. You know what I mean? I was like, they're like, Reed, you're like family, bro. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, what? Like, no way. Like, you know, like,
yeah,
I didn't know you guys like thought of me like that and expected me to, like, you know what I mean? And yeah, bro, I was young at that time. So I in my head, I didn't want to deal with no stress.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I may as well just keep shooting with the guys I've been shooting with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was a bad decision. You know what I mean? Because it made me look as if I was a part of, like, shit. You're taking, you know, side, what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm taking sides.
Yeah.
Which then I started to realize that, and now I've been over the years trying to break out of that, which I hope that everybody knows, like, now by now I'm open to work with anybody and everybody, as long as you come with respect, you know what I'm saying? That's all that matters to me. So
that's crazy how this city has so much, like, I guess, politics, that as a video director, or just, you know, anybody who works in production, whether it's directing, engineering and stuff like that, you know, you want to deal with as much people as possible. Like, this is what your bread and butter is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is.
And then there's limitations, because it's like, have you ever had the issue because you shot a video for quote unquote somebody's ops, now they don't want to shoot a video with you?
Yeah, yeah. I had a video like almost never released because I shot a video with somebody else.
That's crazy.
Like, we don't even want to release this now.
Just because they seen you have your video stamp on somebody else's video.
Yeah, and it was a big video for me too, so I was mad upset about that at the time, you know?
Damn, bro, that's really tragic, man. Getting back to even on your journey though, okay? And, you know, speaking with the Regent Park guys and stuff, Mo G linked you up with YFN Lucci.
Yeah, man.
Tell us that story,
shout out,
man.
Mo G, bro.
Yeah, salute to him.
Yeah, man, I was just chilling one day having dinner at my boy's crib, and I got a call from Mo G, and he's like, yo, there's a big artist who's trying to shoot a video. You're going to get a call soon. And pretty much that's all he told me. He hung up.
Yeah.
And I got a call, and he's like, yo, it's YFN Lucci. I'm like, what the fuck? He's like, yo, you're available tonight? I was like, hell yeah, bro. He sent me the track, and that was it. Came over, man.
Damn.
Shot the video. He loved it. And then he's like, yo, I need you in Atlanta, man. You know? And then I just went out there for a while and just kicked it with him and documented his career, chilled with him, lived with him basically for like a year, you know?
That was a year that you're gone with the whole YFN Lucci stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, man. You must have been able to see like a lot just being around those guys, man.
So much, man. So much.
What was going through your mind when like everything started crashing down with homie? Like,
well, I wasn't out there when everything started crashing down, thank God.
Yeah,
I left right before that. Everything, all that shit started happening, like, I don't know, like maybe like four or five months after I left or something. Like, it seemed,
damn,
something like that. I don't remember exactly, but not too long after I left, everything started going to shit, bro. Free Lucci, man.
Yeah,
that's my bro. All those guys, YFN, they all showed me the utmost fucking respect and love, you know?
Like,
yeah, family for life, you know what I mean? No,
Free Lucci, man.
It's his son's birthday today, I think, actually.
Boy, that's so crazy that, like, literally right after you know, maybe 5-6 months after you left, like, you know, you watch the news and you're seeing all this shit going down, bro. It's like, you know what I mean? Timing, man.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, like, okay, you're doing these videos, the music videos, you got a plethora of videos, even like with Doovie and those guys, you know, plethora of music videos for Doovie. How did you link up with Doovie?
How did I link up with Doovie?
Because you have some of his most legendary videos with him.
Yeah. Let me think for a second. How did I link up with Doovy again? Who was the first artist I shot on the gym? I'm tripping.
There's that many,
What's the first video I did with Doovy?
It wasn't a Nightmares video.
No. It was a couple before that. Oh, okay. I remember. This is the story with Doovy. This is a story with a lot of artists, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But Doovy hit me up trying to shoot. I must have shot somebody in his area before. I forget. But he hit me up trying to shoot. And I kind of like turned him down. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't think he was fire at that time.
Right.
And then I seen him drop a few videos on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And then he dropped that banger, Pain.
Yeah.
After Pain, I think I probably reached back out to him like, yo, we got to work.
Yeah.
And then that's when we started shooting. And we just locked in from there, you know?
And then the videos just started going crazy.
His videos started going crazy. He fucking got shot. And then we fucking dropped Nightmares when he was in the hospital. That was crazy, bro. That whole experience was crazy. Shooting with him on the Jane was like, felt like my first time shooting on the Jane. I feel like Nightmares, I was like, damn, like it's different over here, you know. Yeah. I wasn't used to shooting at Jane and Finch those times.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, holy shit, yeah, it's a whole different vibe over here compared to like downtown and region and shit.
Yeah,
very different, you know.
And you're doing nighttime shoots too.
Everything.
a lot of those music videos I see, they were like late night shoots, right?
Okay, so you know how you say like I'm like close with a lot of artists.
Yes.
So I think a big reason is, let's say when I linked up with Doovy back in the day and mm-hmm. like we'd shoot the video and like I would want to keep shooting, you know, and they'd think the video's done and we'd keep shooting. And then like the video would be done and I'd still hang out. I'd be like, it's done, but I'm going to hang out and I'd still get a few extra shots and shit. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would just hang out for really long.
Yeah.
Until I got too high and I'm like, okay, I gotta leave. You know?
And I guess during those times you get to really like just chop it up and like,
yeah, exactly, bro. I think like people look at you different when you're not just there for just money. I'm not giving off that energy that I'm here just to make bread and leave. You know what I mean? It's never really been about money for me. Back when I lived at home, when I started doing music videos, I was shooting so much shit for free, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if I could afford to, I would to this day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I need to survive too. You know what I'm saying? So.
No, that's facts. Yeah. That's facts. And, you know, the videos that we see now, like you're saying, like you're doing less music videos, right?
I don't know about less. I feel like I'm still doing a lot, you know? I wish I was doing less. I'm doing too much.
But you said in the beginning that you started doing the street videos.
Yeah.
But now, like, there's a point in time I feel like you decided to, you know, I'm really going to start going hard with these street videos. Like, I started seeing them pop up on my timeline like crazy.
Yeah.
When did that switch happen and what made that switch?
Well, it was probably a mix of two things. It was me ready for change and then getting a great reaction when I made a little change.
Yeah.
And then I just kept going with it because I got a good reaction, right?
Yeah.
If I started posting street interviews and nobody cared, I probably would stop, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What's the point if you're not reaching anybody, right?
Yeah. Did you have any inspirations? Like you said, you were doing them from way back, but over the years, there's been different people who've been doing different street interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Were you ever taking in any of these videos like Soft White Underbelly, places like that?
For sure. Like I've always had that interest. So I've definitely taken it all in, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't really like to dive too deep into other people doing similar things as me.
Yeah.
I feel like it throws me off a little bit.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What's one of the wildest stories that you've heard from one of your street videos?
I want
to take a
quick
break from this episode to give a big shout out to Only Loud. Canada's one-stop shop for your favorite legacy brands and all things Loud. Only Loud provides mail order delivery nationwide and same-day delivery to those in the Ottawa area. Check them out at onlyloud.ca or follow them on their socials, Instagram at onlyloudcanada or on Snapchat onlyloud.ca for more exclusive content. Only Loud is not just a product, it's a lifestyle. Big salute to the sponsors. Cheer!
Wildest stories. So many. It's hard. It's tough, man.
Actually, before you even answer that, and think on that.
Yeah.
Okay? You go to different areas like Dundas and Sherbourne is one of the most craziest areas in Toronto, period.
Yeah.
But what's one of the craziest areas that, in your opinion, for somebody who's been around the city, especially you've been around the city on your bike, bro? Mm-hmm. You got to see the whole shit, man.
I think that area is really crazy, you know, Dundas and Sherbourne.
You think that's in the top three of Toronto's craziest areas or most underserved?
I think it might be top one.
Really, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think? Like, where else would be like...
I'm trying to think on it, man, because...
It's not, like, not for gun violence.
Just for, like...
Just in general.
It's just, like... A lot of junkies all over the place. Yeah. There's homeless people all over, like a high concentration. Yeah.
For gun violence, though, I would say Jane and Finch and Rexdale is probably like the worst.
Yeah.
Scarborough's pretty fucking bad too, you know?
Yeah.
Downtown's bad too. Like, it's just.
But I guess Dundas and Sherbourne is like the highest. Statistically it is, but I feel like there's other areas. Like, I know I used to live around Yonge and Bloor. And Yonge and Bloor is pretty bad too, man.
Oh, yeah.
Or Yonge and Wellesley more specifically.
Yeah.
Bro. You know what I mean?
Yonge Street's bad, man.
Did you see the change even as somebody who's a real Torontonian? What's the timeline that you noticed of the change, like the downslide of downtown Toronto? Because we're not going to act like downtown Toronto is the best place anymore. It's kind of gone to the shits.
Yeah. I think after COVID, it really got a lot worse.
Yeah.
That's when you started seeing more homeless people, more encampments.
Now, I would be remiss if I don't ask this, because some people sometimes in the comments, they think that you're exploiting.
I get that shit all the time.
Right? What do you say to that, where people think that you're exploiting these people that you're doing interviews with?
Well, everybody has a right to their own opinion, you know what I mean? Like, everybody has different opinions and shit. But for me, I don't really care what you think. Like, it does bother me, but like, as long as nobody that I filmed is mad at me, I'm cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's real talk right there, man. And there was something that we were talking about off camera that you said you wanted to make sure that you express to the audience.
Yeah, we were talking about Toronto, man, and like the music scene, and I was saying that I was thinking of trying to do like a real Toronto part two.
Yes,
you know,
before you even talk about that, it's funny because I just had an interview with Mad Russian. You know what I'm saying?
That guy's a legend.
Yeah,
holy.
So, you know, why not do a real Toronto two, man?
Like, after like that blog page tried to call me a rat for that Rexdale vlog with the Bosso boys, I'm just like, bro, like, you know what? Like, fuck this shit, man. Like, is it really even worth my energy? You know what I'm saying? Like, and then in the end, people are fucking calling you a rat and shit. Like, it's like, bro, like, fuck this. Like,
but why would they call you a rat?
I don't know.
A video where Mans Them welcomed you in. There's a video of you guys doing like a pop song, like Mans looked like they were really happy to have you over there, bro.
You would have to ask whoever posted that shit. I don't fucking know. It's pretty whack.
Is that the first time that you've seen something like that, like even in a comment or something?
No, like, I've seen comments like, oh, this guy's a rat, like, you know, I've been getting that ever since I started.
Yeah,
little comments. But first, like, a blog page to say some shit like that, like, nah, never ever, you know what I mean? Like, that's crazy, you know?
Yeah. They're trying to mess up your pockets, bro.
Yeah, it's crazy, bro. Mess up, like, bro, my safety. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck? Like, how you gonna, like, do that?
Well, you know, there's like people will say that you're from the outside of that world. Mm-hmm. So you're not even supposed to be in there. Like, yeah, for example,
yeah,
you're giving that backlash to that guy, Brandon Buckingham.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you ever see that same kind of backlash?
Absolutely.
Right. What do you say to that?
I think being white is a big part of it. Right?
Yes. Like, yes.
And man, it just sucks, bro. Sucks. Like, you know,
I don't feel like you're going in with ill intentions.
Exactly, man. Like, you know, I'm trying to put on for the city. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Honestly, I always feel like if I was making zero noise, like nobody would care. But it's the fact that like you get attention and you get love.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
People get angry.
That's facts.
Some people got a lot of hate in their heart, you know?
Yeah. That's facts.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me about being a content creator for a living? Because I was even thinking about this and I wrote this question down on the way here. Like, this is what I do for a living. Okay. I'm going to encapsulate this piece of content. I'm going to put it on YouTube and different places. And, you know, this is going to be part of the way I make my money.
Yeah.
Right. But for you as a guy who's directed videos, you know, now you're doing your content again with people in the streets. How does, for you as a content creator, make your money, you know, sustain yourself?
Well, I don't really make money as a content creator. I make money as a director.
Yeah. Well, technically still you're creating, you're making content. You know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess when I hear content creator, I just think like social media. Like, you know?
Hey guys, welcome to my YouTube channel.
Yeah. So like, yeah, man, I just make my money off music videos. That's it.
Yeah.
Straight up. That's it. Like, I don't really make money anywhere else. On my King B Productions channel, like, I'll make money off there a little bit. Mm-hmm, if I post a video and it does well and it's allowed to be monetized, I can make some money off that.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as like the street interviews and like Instagram and all that, like, no money yet. You know?
So it's a hustle in the end of the day. Like, I've spoken to many video directors. It's like, you got to make sure that like you're shooting a certain amount of videos per month. You got to make sure that you keep your price at what it is and kind of not budge when it comes to certain things. You know what I mean?
I've had to lower my price.
Really? Post-pandemic or pre-pandemic?
Post-pandemic.
Talk to me about that and why.
I've had the same price for like fucking so long too. And I had to like lower it. Like, why? Because nobody wants to like, I don't know, man. People complain. Like, you know, everybody's trying to get a discount and I'm sick of, I don't want to argue, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather just, all right, like, I'll work with people, you know?
Yeah,
I fuck with them, you know what I mean? If I have a history with them and stuff, like, I'll try and work with people. But now I'm, like, getting over that. Like, I feel like people kind of just taking advantage in a weird way because, bro, like, you know, if I'm going to, like, work with you, like, you work with me. Like, you know, don't do a shit video. Like, let's do something sick. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Otherwise, it's just a waste of my time for not much money. You know? It's like, and that's what I'm noticing. I'm doing a lot of videos that I'm not, like, super stoked on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even making a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know.
Are the videos going as far anymore? Because, you know, for somebody who's been in the scene for a while, right? We're talking about 2016, you were making videos for Smoke Dog. And that was like right when the scene was starting to get, everybody was getting a million views on their music videos and stuff like that,
exactly,
right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Now, when you look on the YouTube, I don't know if the algorithm has changed for Toronto or what's going on.
Yeah, it has.
It's not the same. Even like some of the videos that you filmed pandemic times, like the Doovie videos and stuff like that, million plus views. What do you think is happening with Toronto now? Why is it not getting the same kind of attention, same view counts, everything as it used to be?
Big Sleuth is Steven Hot Grabba with a variety of different grabba flavors and dispensers. They got red rose grabba, that red herring grabba, and peanut butter. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Steamin' Hot Grabba, and use the code WeLoveHipHop and receive a discount on your order. Again, you can find them on Instagram, Steamin' Hot Grabba. Now let's get back to the show. Cheer.
I think we just fumbled the bet.
Talk to me about that, please.
It's like, you know, life is like changing gears, you know? So like you need momentum to switch into that next gear. Like you can't go one to third, you know what I'm saying? You gotta go one, two, three. And, you know, when we were ready to like take it to the next level, you know, we self-sabotaged and like people got killed, people went to jail.
Yeah.
You know, just bare politics, you know, like not enough music.
Yeah.
We got known for fucking fuckery, not music.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of a joke.
You just slapped me with some reality right there, bro.
You know?
Yeah, man, because
but I feel a change coming like soon.
Really?
Yeah.
Cause it's just crazy because you could probably really see it, bro, for somebody who's the director of videos.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? And then you see that person go put the video up on their channel or whatever, even on other video channels. You know what I'm saying? With big salute to Six Buzz.
Yep.
I used to see people premiere a video on Six Buzz, 50,000 views off the hop. Now I look and like videos are like barely cracking 2,000-3,000 views.
Yeah, I don't know.
You say it's turning around. Like, how is it going to turn around?
New young talent. Fresh new young talent with new sound, new energy.
Yeah.
And I think that guy Sav4X,
mm-hmm.
he's doing it pretty well with like a new sound, a new like a fresh energy.
Mm-hmm.
And like I think like artists like that will inspire more youngins
mm-hmm.
to come different and come with some new shit, like yeah. some different drip. I don't know.
What's your list as somebody who's been directing so many videos over the years? What's your list of artists to check for right now in Toronto?
Fuck, I don't want to miss anybody. It's too, you know? I can't. It's too hard, you know?
We'll do it of all time then. All time.
Nah, that's way too hard. There's so many artists, man. So many good artists.
Well, your favorites then. What's your favorites?
My favorites?
Because you get to hear the songs over and over again.
It's hard to say because I have different types of favorites. You know what I mean? Like I got my biased favorites.
Yeah.
I got my like, you know, like Doovie's obviously one of my favorites. You know what I'm saying? Like Big Rax is one of my favorites. Like but Big Rax doesn't get Doovie numbers. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like that is. Yeah.
If you can pick, and I'm going to last artist question, and we'll probably like at almost an hour, so we'll wrap up soon, right?
Yeah.
If you can pick an artist to show people outside of Canada, this is what Toronto is like.
Well, I'll say like when I was in America with Lucci, I was trying to put them on to Toronto music. So I was playing them like Doovie. I was playing them Pressa, you know, and other artists and shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hilarious, like, because, you know, they don't take Canada serious, especially at that time. Presso didn't make it that big at that time.
Yeah.
But now they're talking to me, like, about Presso and Doovie. They're like, yo, I heard Drake talking about Presso and Doovie, and, like, I heard this about Presso, I heard this about Doovie, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I was trying to tell you guys about these guys, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But I actually introduced Doovie to Lucci too.
Nice.
Which was cool as fuck. In like the Hollywood Hills, I had Doovie and his homies pull up to a mansion party and shit. Oh,
sick.
Yeah, it was lit, man.
Yeah.
Good vibes.
What do you see for your future in this production game? Like, do you want to go bigger with like huge productions besides music videos, like just doing other types of productions?
I want to do
a movie or some shit.
Like I said, like documentary stuff, you know, like maybe a movie or a TV series one day, who knows? But like, I'm more into real life,
you know?
I'm more into documentary and shit. But, and with the music videos, I want to like build more of a team. I want to shoot and edit less myself, you know?
Yes.
But I want to continue to grow my channel, you know what I mean? So, eventually, I might stop shooting videos entirely. Who knows? But I want my channel to continue growing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And have dope directors putting out videos on my channel that I could produce the video.
Yeah.
Artists could still reach out to me. I can pick the director, pick the editor, drop it on my page, promo it, you know?
Yeah.
Shit like that.
And because you put the videos, a lot of the music videos that you've done for people are on your YouTube channel.
I wouldn't say a lot. I would say very little.
Okay.
Very little. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably like one out of like 20.
Okay. Because like, I feel like your channel's popping. Or it's starting to pop.
It's starting to pop. You know? Yeah. But it was like, it's a very slow buildup because of how little I post.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also why it's starting to pop now, because I only post quality.
Yeah.
You know, so everything does numbers. So now people want to be on my page, but they don't realize, like, you're not just going to get numbers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Like, you have to have a fan base and a banger video, and everything has to be aligned. Timing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yeah, bro, I got to be very picky about what I put on there. You know?
No, that's facts. That's facts. So what you got in the horizons coming up next, brother?
Fuck, I don't even know, man. I don't even know what's next for me. I'm not gonna lie. I'm trying to take a break from music videos,
mm-hmm.
or like travel and do some music videos, because Toronto is not inspiring me too much right now.
Yeah.
I want to do more helping with the homeless and the street interviews and all that shit, mm-hmm. bigger and better. And just, yeah, man, more YouTube content, more fucking content, you know?
Yeah.
Let's keep going.
Last question on that question,
mm-hmm.
with the YouTube, with the, you know, filming homeless people and stuff like that, right? Or doing the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Are you planning to go outside of Toronto, maybe go to some other places, like even just like Barrie and places
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I really actually wanted to do a Canadian tour.
Yes.
Kind of like exposing Canada.
Vancouver, you know? Please.
Yeah, I need to go to Vancouver again. Yeah, real shit.
We need to read in the streets out there on Hastings,
facts.
Getting the real from the people over there, man.
Facts.
I'm looking forward to something like that, man.
Yeah. I got to make it happen.
Yeah, man.
Soon.
Yeah, man. Reed in the streets, aka King B in the building.
Appreciate you, bro.
Appreciate you, brother. Before I get out of here, just another quick salute to the sponsors. Big salute to Diamond Club. Hit them up on their Instagram page, DiamondClub_Canada. Big salute to Only Loud. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Only Loud Canada. And I want to also send a salute to Exotic Hot Pots. Hit them up on their Instagram page, exotichotpots.ca. Reed in the streets in the building.
Much love.
We are off of this.
Peace.
Deuces.
We love hip-hop.